Got Wayne Miller on the line. And Wayne, man, it is Patrick just showed me a picture of Mobile Bay and the surrounding waters, and it is muddy, man. What are we going to do to catch some bass this weekend?
I tell you what, man, it's pretty incredible. You know, the volume of water we got coming down through the delta right now. Obviously, most people know the Mobile reading at Barry is still over 14 feet. So, obviously, you know, I'm always looking at it from the standpoint of the bass fishing, and I know it's really all this fresh water has just absolutely obliterated, you know, the saltwater bite there in the bay. But the good news for the bass guys is if you get south of the causeway, the rivers on both the east and west side of the bay still have some great bass fishing. I mean, saw a lot of people out this past weekend down on Dog River and, but Fish River, I mean, there's plenty of places to go fish that are still the water qualities in good shape. And, you can go catch them.
You talked about last week about, you know, fishing the creeks. What do you recommend for these tidal rivers? Where do you start for your prospecting?
Depending on, you know, the weather, I mean, we've had, it's really warmed up. You know, the water temperature had warmed up quite a bit because we just hadn't had any cold weather. And, I've been primarily focusing on some of the smaller creeks, you know, and going in there and just fishing the outside ones, where you've got a little bit deeper water. And been able to catch a lot of fish on, you know, shallow running crankbaits and even some spinner baits. I mean, a good friend of mine caught them on a swim jig this past weekend. So, you know, the fish are up in the water table right now, you know, talking about the bass. And they've been biting pretty good, actually.
Well, Wayne, I can second that. You're talking about these tidal rivers off the side of the bay, and we were actually targeting redfish last weekend and down in West Fowl River, and we were catching bass on voodoo shrimp down there. So,
yeah.
Well, what about all this water? Is it pushed down a lot of trash? Bobby was talking about that last week, and you know, it's just being a lot of water hyacinth in the water. What's going on with that?
Yeah, you know, that's something, Joe, that, I think it's great for us to mention because people are really going to have to pay close attention with the tremendously high water that we've got right now. You know, it's brought down just a phenomenal amount of, you know, wood, trees, logs, and, you know, all that comes down. Well, a lot of it makes it down to the bay, but a lot of it gets hung up in the rivers and some of the creeks. I mean, it backs up due to the, you know, the tide. So once that water gets back down to normal and people get out and start, you know, going back to their normal patterns as far as, you know, where they like to go fish, it's a completely different scenario, and you really have to pay close attention and be careful because there's going to be new navigational hazards. From the standpoint of, you know, logs that have hung up and trees. So, yeah, it's just something that you really have to pay close attention to.
Well, we were talking about these tidal rivers in, off of Mobile Bay for bass. Are those fish keyed in shallow, deeper? You said more middle of the water column, but, I mean, are you fishing, what kind of depth of water are you fishing in?
Man, I've been catching most of these fish anywhere from 2 to 5 feet of water. So, I mean, they're not deep, and they've been up and been pretty active. It's just like, like talking about catching them on, you know, the shallow running crankbaits. I'm talking about square bills that typically run anywhere from 3 to 5 feet. And, those are popular in the shad and especially in the crawfish color patterns, those seem to work well here year-round.
Well, Captain Wayne, that's a good report this week, man. I appreciate you pointing us in the right direction. If folks want to get in touch with you, how can they do it?
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
All right, Wayne. That's Captain Wayne Miller. All right, let's talk to one of our favorite contributors. We got Mike Thompson on the line. Mike, I know the Upper Mobile Bay and Mobile Bay fishery is struggling right now. We've got a lot of rain that's been coming down. And what's going on, man? Is there any bright spots in the fishing right now?
There's very few bright spots. I saw the other day one of those satellite photos of Mobile Bay, and the bay is 90% covered with what looks like chocolate milk, all the muddy water coming down the rivers. So it's really got things boogered up. It's pushed any fish into the local rivers like Dog River, Fowl River, into Theodore Canal. And there are some fish to be found, but you've got to hunt for them.
So talking about these rivers, we talk a lot about Dog and Fowl and the rivers on the western side of the bay. Are the rivers over on the eastern side of the bay affected just the same by this water?
It's not affected as bad. Usually when you have a situation like we're under right now with tremendous rainfall, you can sneak into Fish River and catch a few fish. And the satellite photo I mentioned, you can see on the satellite photo that Bon Secure is actually got some decent water in it. I haven't got any reports of anybody going that way. But there are some places where the fish can be hiding, and Fish River is one of them.
I did talk to a few guys over in Orange Beach Gulf Shores yesterday, and they made mention that in Perdita Bay, this water has actually helped the fishing because it's pushed a lot of the trout that are in those rivers down into the bays and onto some of the reefs that are in that bay. So it can be beneficial. One of the things I was thinking about, we were talking with Joe Dunn last week, and we were talking about Miller's Ferry, obviously, and he said that the catfishing has actually improved with all this water because it's opening up some new territory. Is the same true for the Delta, you know, the lower Delta? Can this be a good time to do some limb lining or jug fishing for catfish?
Well, I know a lot of people that will get out on the channel edges in some of the rivers like the Spanish River and fish with fresh dead shrimp. You'll run into some catfish there. You'll usually run in some freshwater drum this time of year. Over the years of duck hunting, I would see the same people fishing the same spots along the river. While we're out there chasing ducks, they were chasing the catfish. So I'm sure you could find some. But again, it's a hunt for them, and you got to really want it.
What about the Theodore Industrial Canal? What's the report out of there right now?
Some good catches have been coming out of Theodore. If you can get your hands on some live shrimp, that's one of the hardest things to do, is find some live shrimp. We talked about it in weeks previous. You know, there are some shrimp to be found, but there's so few people that are using or fishing right now that it doesn't justify the fuel cost of the shrimpers. But, you know, some of the local pros, I would call them, non-guides, but guys that are old-timers that fish a lot. Some good catches came out of Theodore recently. It was in deep water with live shrimp.
Typically this time of year, Mike, we start to see those fish, you know, piling up in those deeper channels in these rivers that we're talking about being so muddy right now. And there's a really good article on greatdaysoutdoors.com that Bobby Abrascato wrote about trolling for speckled trout. And that can be effective in these rivers. Now, with it muddy like this, obviously that's going to affect things. But what about in the Industrial Canal, with it being so deep? Does anybody ever try trolling in there, or is it?
Absolutely. And if you've got the patience for it, it's a good way to catch fish there. Old-timer, God rest his soul, Cap Merle, used to troll in Theodore Canal all the time. He would put a half-ounce barrel weight above a swivel. He put a three-foot-long leader and put a three-quarter-ounce rattle trap at the end. And he would drag that rattle trap in depths of 15 to 20 feet, and you could locate good schools of fish doing that. You could do the same thing with a grub, but he did better with the rattle trap than any other bait.
Seems like right now with the muddy water, that might be a good tactic to employ, just because you know, it's the, if you're, you need, the more ground you can cover with the visibility being less may help you. What kind of speed do those guys like for trolling?
You know, you're going to stump me on that one because I don't know what type of speed they would be using, but it wouldn't be a fast paced. It would be just enough to keep the bait off the bottom. You know, because even rattle traps are $4 or $5 a piece now. You hang one up out Theodore Canal, you kiss it goodbye.
Well, I can kind of weigh in on that. It's been I've used that tactic in the Delta before, and usually the best trolling speed is just barely in gear. I mean, just put the boat in gear and just ease along.
Well, Mike, we appreciate the report this week, man. I hope you have good luck down in Louisiana.
Good luck,
okay,
Mike.
Okay, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right, let's head on up to Miller's Ferry. We're talking with Joe Dunn. As always, Joe, man, is the water finally coming down?
Yeah, we finally getting the water out of the woods and back in the lake where you can get to the fish now. It's going to pull the, you know, everything back out, your bass, your crappie, your catfish, everything's going to start coming back out. Now the water further upriver is going to actually be fishable now. You can go in some of the lakes and some of the sloughs up there now, and that water should start clearing up since we don't have water, you know, obviously coming through the back of them now. And just have to hunt around, find where there's still a bunch of shad in some of them, and obviously that's where the bait fish is, where your other fish is going to be. With the water temperatures though as cool as they are, everything's going to be slow. So don't go in there expecting, you know, to get a whole lot of bites. It's just going to be real, real slow right now.
Now, you talked about those shad, and we've talked about that before, and cast netting them and how you go about getting them, but you know, refresh my memory, when, how do you really locate those fish?
Well, your shad, if you're hunting those for bait right now, I actually go find something with you know, some deeper water, that there's no flowing current through it. You, if the water's done warmed up during the middle of the day, those fish will come up to the top and sun, and you'll see some flickering every once in a while. And you use that to go to them, but if it's, and then you right there with your cast net, and when you see a flicker, well, you throw right there on top of it. If you don't have a lot of flickering in a place, go through the deeper areas with your electronics. And when you see, the way we usually work it is, one of us will be running the boat, and the other will be standing right on top of where the transducer is at the back. And when you run over a big school of shad, you let him know we just run over one. Then he gets ready and makes the cast, you know. And we've been real, real productive doing it that way, too.
So that's almost, I mean, it's not a blind cast because you're looking at the electronics, but it's almost a blind cast in the sense that you don't have a visual on those fish when you throw that net.
We do the same thing. We do the same thing when we're pogie fishing. We'll, if they're not up flicking on top, then we'll exclusively throw based on what we see on the fish finder.
And do you find there's a certain net that works best? I mean, what kind of depth, when you're doing that right there, Joe, what kind of depth of water are you in?
Generally, it could be anywhere from 8 to, 15 feet. You know, it just depends on, generally it's the time of day is a kind of depend on where they're at. If it's a pretty sunny day in the wintertime, they'll be up closer to the top. Generally, you know,
right,
warming up in the just sunning, like a lizard does in the wintertime. He's gonna crawl out on a rock in the sun, and those fish are gonna do the same thing where that temperature is a little bit better. And then if it's cloudy and dreary, and you know, it usually pushes them down some. Then in the wintertime, in the summertime, it sometimes could be opposite of that. So it just depends, you know. If it's a bright sunny day in the summertime, it usually pushes them down, but the water temperature is real hot.
Do you find there's a better weight or size net for doing that?
Generally, I won't use anything any smaller than a 6 foot, you know. And if you can throw an 8 foot or something bigger, that the bigger the better, you know. You're just gonna have a better chance. The only way the smaller nets work good. If you can see the shad and they're real concentrated, you know, sometimes in the summer in the spring after the hatch, they'll be just kind of, you'll see them. And generally you need a smaller size mesh would do generally a little bit better. I know it sinks slower, but those shad, especially in the spring, they're not real big. In the later after the hatch, you go to having smaller and smaller shad then. Earlier, say this time of year right now, a little bit bigger, you know, the quarter inch mesh, you know, is fine, or the eighth, but the eighth, when the smaller one is better when the shad are smaller, obviously.
Well, Joe, let's flip gears a little bit. It sounds like the fishing is improving, and I'm happy to hear that. Usually when it starts improving for you, about a week later, it starts improving for us down here. What about deer hunting, man? I sure have seen a bunch of good bucks starting to fall, and are those deer keyed up on food plots right now? Are the acorns soured in the woods yet? What's going on there?
Yeah, pretty much. It's fixed to shift from the only thing you're going to go to seeing in food plots here for long, you might see a big buck, but he's going to be cruising.
Right.
The main thing that's coming to feeding right now is usually mostly fawns and first-year does. Mature does, they're fixed to start, you know, getting ready for the rut. They're going to be going into season, and then they'll actually go out actually hunting the big bucks. That's the reason you won't see anything but usually yearlings this time of year. And then when the does do come through the patch, sometimes they're doing the same thing. They're cruising looking for a buck, too.
Right, right.
Because I got tickle one year, I got to using some decoys. And those decoys, now, they work. And I had one out and didn't have a big buck, but I had two spikes come in. And, buddy, they fuzzed up and walked all around him. And then I had a doe come in, and she was just nervous as she could be. You know, she'd come running out there and look at him and run back in the woods. And I got tickled. She'd come back and look at him like, ain't you supposed to be following me? You know, and she'd run back out in the woods. But the decoys work this time of year, too.
All right, Joe. Well, sounds good, man. Thanks for the report this week.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. See y'all later.
Sitting here with Patrick Garbison. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Appreciate you having me.
Before we get into talking about one of my favorite fish, the redfish, I want to know what's going on right now inshore around our area. What's the bite been like?
So the bite is you got to be patient. You got to be fish slow, and there's still, believe it or not, some speckled trout that are going to bite. But redfish seems to be the easier target for me with taking customers out. So that's been my focus here of late.
Right now, are these fish, we talked about it a little earlier with Mike Thompson, but I mean, are these fish really staying deep right now, the speckled trout?
Speckled trout are going to be, if you find them in, which I have not checked, but there's still more than likely some fish in Mobile River despite all the water coming down. They just get really difficult to catch. Water gets so dirty and tainted to where it's just hard to get the lure in front of them and close enough for them to eat. And then the Theodore Industrial Canal, same thing. That Theodore is a cool place because there's no current pushing out of it. It's only the bay water going in. So it's really difficult to get the salt water out of there and just completely ruin the water clarity. So if you get in that big turnaround basin or all the way in the very back, somewhere between the turnaround basin and the far back, there's going to be some fish. And, I mean, they've got to eat at some point. So, I mean, if you're just mad at them and want to go catch a speckled trout, that's probably a pretty good place to go do it. I know Mike mentioned about the live bait. But if you just slow down a grub and throw that rattle trap, those are two good artificial baits.
Well, let me ask you, because what I'm hearing from Mike and what I'm hearing from you guys in my brain is kind of contradicting itself, is we've got very poor water quality conditions. Okay, mm-hmm. So the fish themselves are going to have a hard time visually seeing the bait. We've also got colder water temperatures, which means the fish are going to be a little bit more lethargic.
That's right.
In their bite. In my brain, what I'm thinking is, if fish are going to have a harder time seeing the bait, I've got to make more cast, cover more water to actually get a bait in front of a fish.
That's right.
So in my head, I'm thinking, I ought to speed up my presentation to cover more ground. So how can I cover more water but still keep a slow presentation?
That would be a that's I don't think that conversation is something you have in the really deep water like Theodore Canal. I think where you would use employ something like that would be in more of a shallower river where there are certainly still some fish hanging around. Dog River, Fowl River, Bon Secure River, Magnolia River, and probably some in Fish River. You can speed up a little bit more there to cover more water. And you mentioned it earlier about employing some trolling efforts. You know, some small stick baits, little lip baits, little paddle tail grubs, rattle traps. Those are all pretty effective lures. If you just have zero clue on where to start, throw a couple lines out, bump the motor in gear, and just troll a little bit. Because if you get one fish to strike in the conditions that we have right now, the odds are that there's a lot more fish in that area. So my advice would be, if you get that strike, I don't know that I would continue to troll more so than to turn the boat around and focus in on that area where you just picked up that one bite, and you might turn into five or six fish.
Right.
So,
well, you know, we talk with Wayne Miller about that on the freshwater side with bass. You know, a lot of times he'll prospect with a soft plastic, and then when he catches a fish, he'll switch over to a crankbait to really try to pull that that school out of there. But talking about the school, when you've got we're talking speckled trout right now, in certain times of year, these fish are orienting to different things. You know, in the middle of summer, they may be orienting to a gas rig out in the middle of Mobile Bay.
Right.
In the early fall, they may be orienting to a school of shrimp that are moving their way up into the delta. Mm-hmm. In the dead of winter, what are those fish orienting to? Is it bait that's in these deeper water, these deeper pockets, or are they just orienting to the temperature of the water down deeper?
That I'm still not quite sure on all of that, but in my opinion, I think us as fishermen are more targeting fish that are going to be willing to bite, or fish that we can fool into biting. So if we can find fish in cleaner water, then our odds of getting that bite are a lot more, you know, a lot more likely, as opposed to trying to really dissect exactly what the fish are doing. I do often think that they're going to lay out of the current and not fight the current as much. So you'll find a lot of the fish where, instead of in really swift current areas, they're going to be less effective as areas where there's a lighter current movement.
All right, Patrick. Well, thanks for sharing that inshore report, man. And let's switch gears quite a bit. We're going to head up to the north part of the state, talk to Brad Whitehead. Brad does a lot of his fishing on Pickwick Lake and Wilson Lake. Brad,
that's some water.
How's this water affecting you, man?
Whew. I tell you, it has been rough the past couple of weeks. You know, Pickwick, they've had all the spillways open basically all the way down the Tennessee River chain of lakes. You know, it's been dangerous on Pickwick. It's clearing up. They're cutting back the spillways. And when they do, normally after they cut the last one off, about two or three days after that, Pickwick will be getting hot. So
let me step you back a minute, Brad. What are some of those dangers?
Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a bass tournament, had a high school bass tournament, and actually one of the anglers' motors quit, and they slammed into one of the bridge pilots, threw the kids out, threw the boat, the captain out, and, you know, that's just something you don't think about. But that water's moving a lot of times at 4 and 5 miles an hour. You don't think that's a lot. When you pull up to a place like that, you really got to look behind you and on both sides to make sure you don't run up on nothing, because there's no stopping it.
Right.
So,
yeah. No, four or 5 miles an hour is plenty enough to do some damage. I mean, I guarantee you, Patrick can't run that fast. So.
Well, and I guarantee you one thing: I've bumped into stuff at you know, it just barely coasting. And when you take a boat and slam into something, even at a mile an hour, somebody's going to the bottom of the boat if they're not ready. So, four miles an hour is hauling butt to hit something inanimate.
Well, what should we look for after this water starts to slow down?
Hey, no doubt, small mouth, large mouth is going to kick on. You know, that's one reason it's pushed us up on Wilson. You've got current, but it's nothing like Pickwick. And, you know, the guys that are coming up here maybe to visit for a couple of days, go to the TVA apps and check your water. You know, a good water on Pickwick, you're looking at 75,000, 80,000, even up to, 85,000 coming through the dam. But when you start breaking that 150, you need to stay off of it. It's just not worth it. You know, we've got Wilson. We've caught some good fish. The water gets a little dirty up there. You can catch some good fish on crankbaits as far as bass. As it's clearing up, you can start shooting docks for crappie and even one poling for crappie. So there's several things that's going to be good for the future. You know, we need to clean that. We call it a cleaning out from time to time. When they open those spillways, it moves rocks around below that dam. So if you've been up there before and you say, hey, that rock was there last time, it might have shifted 4 or 5 feet. So keep that in mind when you get around these dams after we have these, 6 and 7 inches of rain.
You know, if we are going bass fishing and you're going to have you're just wanting to, it's been a while since you've been on the water, a bunch of changes have occurred. What are a couple of go-to baits and maybe a color which you would start with?
No doubt, even with Pickwick and Wilson, the bait that has really been hot that we've actually used, me and my son, are square bills. The 2.5 square bills, you want to get one that's big. Of course, this is all a new world to me as far as this, doing a lot of this artificial bass fishing. But the thicker the square bills, shallow water, as a lot of people know, this water gets color to it, it's going to warm up quicker. And the square bill has been the absolutely go-to. The second bait I would go to is a big willow leaf spinnerbait, chartreuse white. Same way with the square bill, something chartreuse, maybe fire tiger, and start beating the banks. Because you got to think, if this water's up, there's a lot of fresh vegetation. I know it looks dead, but it's stuff that they're not used to. They're going to pull into it and try to get them something, feed while they're in this shallow water. So that's my two go-to baits this time of year.
Very cool.
All right, Brad, if folks want to get in touch with you, how they do it, man?
Hey, no doubt. Give me a call at 256-483-0834, and glad to be back those couple of weeks. I'm ready to start fishing, so give me a call, and I'll help you out.
All right, buddy. Stay safe out there.
Okay. See y'all. Bye-bye.
See you.